Welcome to Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua of Christ Is All Ministries. If you are like most people in this day and age, you live life on the go. In the chaos of your life, you may sometimes forget to take the time out to be mindful of God's presence or the things of God. You see, mindfulness is simply paying complete and undivided attention. But we live our lives so distracted that it is difficult to be completely mindful of God or the things of God. The scriptures make us understand that the Lord is mindful of each one of us. It's imperative that Christians learn how to be mindful of the things of God. In today's message titled, Be Mindful of the Things of God, Evangelist Paul Acqua shares that the more mindful you are of God's will, the greater the burden you bear about the things of God and the enlightenment to complete the tasks entrusted to you. Let's join in.
How do you live as a Christian and how do you live victoriously? Focus on what God has done and what He is asking you to do. Every born-again Christian must be mindful of the things of God. The Lord not just set us free from hell, and that's awesome if that was all there was to it. It's more than we deserve. We would thank Him forever just for that. But He set us free from living a life without being mindful of the things of God. He set us free from living a life without a purpose. God has a plan. He moved us from sin to salvation and then set us apart for His work. How do you begin to live the life that we have been given? You know, in the book of Romans, the Romans 12 talks about a call to service, a call to committing to Christ. It's putting truth into action. I read from verse 1, Romans chapter 12. You have your Bible opening with me. I read from the New King James Version and says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, which many Christians are familiar with this. You see, he's saying that I beseech you, brethren. I plead with you, brethren. I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God. So believers are being charged with what they need to give God. God has given us everything that pertains to life. So our focus must be on what we are to give Him. But unfortunately and sadly enough, survey tells us that there are billions of Christians in the world. One will wonder why so many church members are making so little an impact upon the spiritual and moral climate of many parts of the world. We are told that there are hundreds of thousands of church members in various parts of the world. And yet, why is it that on Sunday mornings, thousands and thousands of churches have seats that are empty? Ask yourself. Churches are barely getting by and struggling through. That shouldn't be the case, but it is. Why is it that many churches' doors open on Sunday morning? There is very little activity going on in the life and the body of that church. Why is it so? If we believe the Bible is the word of God, why is it that so few Christians know so little about the Bible? God answers prayer. He does. We believe that. And yet, why is it that so many Christians never pray? Why is it that so many Christians never experience power in their prayer lives? We say we believe that there is heaven and there is hell. There is an eternity and Christ died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. We believe that. He rose again on the third day. We believe that. And if we believe that, why are we so silent? Why are we not sharing our faith? Why are so many Christians silent? Why are they not sharing their faith to their fellow co-workers, friends, family, name them? Why most church members never get involved in personal evangelism and discipling people when Christ has commanded us to do so? We say we believe in the ministries of our churches, and yet why are pastors and church leaders across the world with all these billions of church members? Why do pastors have to beg? Why do they have to plead? Why do they have to persuade and try to remind and just ask and ask the people to support the ministry of the church with their tithes and with their offerings? With all the people professing Christ, why are we not mindful of the things of God? Why are we not committed? Why are we not making a difference? We see families breaking apart. And unfortunately, we see Christian families are not different from families that are not Christians. We see our young people losing their way. And unfortunately, the church children, not just the teenagers at school. What I know is that our churches are filled with members who have made a decision to receive Christ, but have never made a commitment to Jesus. Have never decided to be mindful of the things of God. There are all kinds of decisions that have been made to receive Christ. Making a decision like, I don't want to go to hell, so I just need to accept Jesus as my Savior. Making decisions like, I want to go to heaven, so I think I need to be saved. Decisions like, I know I am in trouble and I cannot make it on my own, so I better try God. Decisions like, my life is messed up and I need some help, and so on and so forth. I think Jesus is the way. I'm tired of the way that I am living and I want a new life. A decision for Christ and a commitment to Jesus Christ are two separate things. They are two different things entirely. Like a lot of people make decisions about marriage, but they don't make commitment to the person that they are marrying. God has given us a call of commitment from His word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying that's our reasonable service, my friend. Living for Christ is really a privilege. It's just amazing that He has given us the authority and power to make a difference of eternal value to mankind. Let's make a difference where we are, where we find ourselves, our communities, our environment, in our world. Let's make a difference. We all need to sharpen our focus in life. Remember that Christ is all. Therefore, all our attention must be on Jesus Christ. We must be fully committed to Him. Don't live for yourself, my friend. The Bible says that, and He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. That's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. There is no reason to live a life without Jesus as the focus. Let me remind you, life without Jesus as a focus, there is no reason to live it. Why live a life if the Lord Jesus is not at the center of your being, the love of your heart and the joy of your soul? Why live a life without Christ? He is all we have. He is our everything. He is our all. He gave His life for us. He must be our everything. Your life must be focused on God, my friend. Why are you living? Are you living for yourself or you are living for Him? We are justified by grace. We have peace with God. Having moved from sin to salvation, we are then sanctified. That means set apart for God. The same Spirit that brought us to Christ gives us life in Christ. The Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. For the love of God compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So when you love the Lord, you are going to live wholeheartedly for him. You are going to give your being, your heart, your everything. He paid for all the sins for all the people in this world. Become who God created you to be by living a life of sacrifice, commitment to him. You see? So to become who God created you to be always boils down to our relationship with Jesus. That relationship affects everything in our lives. And that's why we need to focus and meditate on Romans chapter 12, verse 1 that I just read to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Which is 2 Corinthians 5:17. You see, the biggest change is that we have had the opportunity to live eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son has no life. There is nothing else you can do to receive forgiveness and gain eternal life apart from Jesus Christ. But that new life demands good works, a life of commitment, and thus your reasonable service. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we just have to keep walking in the good works that he prepared for us even before we received him as our Lord and Savior. Before we received his marvelous gift of salvation, we have to walk in these good works he had prepared for us. Glory to God Almighty for sending his Son to save us. We are here to preach Christ, to reconcile people to Christ, to create the awareness of God's amazing grace, and to proclaim that his grace is available to everyone who believes. You see? We plead on behalf of Christ for people to be reconciled to God. We are to make disciples of all nations, persuading and compelling them into the kingdom of God. Representing Christ on this earth is a great honor, and therefore our minds must stay on him at all times. We must be mindful of the things of God. That must be our focus and goal. It's an amazing occasion every time someone receives the saving grace of Christ and commits to walk with him. More than 2,000 years ago, Christ came to this world to save mankind. Why? Because all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time to do so. And if you will, you may pray this prayer after me, saying every word from your heart. Say, Dear Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner and need to be saved. I understand that Jesus died in my place and suffered the judgment of all my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he is at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Akwa. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to tell a friend. Also, make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any prayer requests, you can contact us at +44 787 945 6907. You can also visit www.ciamint.com for more resources to help you dig deeper in your Christian life. Christ is all ministries. Sharing Christ, changing lives.